Today on Seculo, Biden blunders and Kamala spaces. We'll also be joined by Jim Jordan and Mike Pompeo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Remember yesterday on the broadcast, we said, well, it sounded like Joe Biden, if he was saying the right thing, was saying that they were reconsidering Title 42 and the removal of Title 42 at the end of May, and because there were so many Democrats coming out. Well, in fact, the White House reclarified, said, no, we plan on removing Title 42 so that tool being used by our Border Patrol agents is gone. The president, I just misspoke, he was actually referring to the mask mandates case. Now, I want you to listen, because he references Title 42, and I have this question to ask about President Biden. Does he even know what Title 42 is? Because, when you listen to this, it's very specific to a legal case, and there's legal cases both in the mask mandate, there's legal cases in Title 42. Here he goes.
No, what I'm considering is continuing to hear from first of all, there's going to be an appeal by the Justice Department, because as a matter of principle, we want to be able to be in a position where if in fact it is strongly concluded by the scientists that we need Title 42, that we'd be able to do that. But there has been no decision on extending Title 42.
Okay, but the White House then clarified that they have made a decision on extending Title 42. They have actually decided that they are not going to extend Title 42 and that the president was talking about the mask mandate. So he doesn't even know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what legal case. The legal case on Title 42 was brought by Arizona or Nevada and some other states about the fact that the way they were rescinding the policy, removing the policy, was violating the federal law and like Administrative Procedures Act. The case out of the mask mandate case they're appealing is whether or not the CDC has the proper authority and whether they also followed the Administrative Procedures Act. So that's, again, you got two separate cases, two very different issues. And yet what we know is that the president doesn't know what he's talking about on the issue. So it went from a day where people thought, okay, maybe they are considering or reconsidering Title 42 because there was so much Democrat pressure and attention on it. And now we know they're not. Now, we're going to be joined by Congressman Jim Jordan in the next segment of the broadcast because, again, all of this border information is very important because they've got Secretary Mayorkas from DHS. After a year of asking, finally coming to testify to the House Judiciary Committee where Congressman Jordan is the ranking member. He's going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. So you want to share this out with your friends and family. If you're watching on Facebook, maybe join us over at Rumble. But definitely share it with your friends and family on YouTube, on Facebook, on Rumble. And if you're watching the broadcast, so we've got Jim Jordan coming up right away. And then, you know, you had Kamala Harris with the vice president. This is earlier in the week on space, and now her chief of staff is quitting. Take a listen.
Space is exciting. It spurs our imaginations, and it forces us to ask big questions. Space, it affects us all, and it connects us all.
Okay, that was not a speech to kindergartners. That was a speech at the Vandenberg Air Force Base to members of the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Space Force, you know, people who are experts in space. No wonder her chief of staff's quitting. It's whoever's writing the script there should be fired, unless she's not doing prep and they've got to make it so simple and so basic because she's like, doesn't want to go through the teleprompter and go through the speech, so you don't want any complicated sentences. You put these two things together and you see just a White House. It's not that it's out of control. They don't even know what they're talking about. They don't know what issue they're talking about when they address it. They make big statements to reporters. So how would you feel if you were in Ukraine dealing with these situations, or if you're dealing with Russia in these situations, or China, or Iran? We're going to talk about that later with Secretary Pompeo. But coming up next, Congressman Jim Jordan. Share the broadcast. You want to, again, get your friends and family engaged on the broadcast. We'll be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We're joined by a great friend of our broadcast, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. He's also the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. I want to get to that in a second because we've got Secretary Mayorkas after a year finally coming to the committee to testify. But I want to start with this, Congressman Jordan, because we heard yesterday from the president. Now we know the White House is backing off from that, but because he was confusing the CDC mask case on travel with Title 42, which makes the question, does he even know what Title 42 is when he's making these statements, because it's been in the news a lot. And we saw a lot of Democrats also starting to say, you know what, we shouldn't rescind this if we don't have a plan in place to deal with these huge numbers like we saw last month, 220,000 people. And those are the ones that are encountered, not the gotaways. So first to you, Congressman Jordan, it does seem like you've got Republicans along with a number of Democrats starting to join up with Republicans trying to warn the White House not to rescind Title 42. But the White House clarified yesterday, Congressman Jordan, that they are moving forward with ending the program.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of Democrats who are saying that they want to keep it. But I just think this is important to understand. It's already a chaotic situation, whether we have Title 42 or not. Yeah. But keeping Title 42 in place simply means that it goes from the current chaos to not. It would get worse if we got rid of it. It would get extremely much more worse. So I think it's just important to understand that this thing is already a record number of illegal crossings every single month. We had 5 months in a row last year where it just kept getting worse, and that record that was there in July of 2021 was just broken this past month in the month of March. So yeah, while some Democrats are saying this, that doesn't take away the problem that's already there. So let's hope we can keep that in place. And as I say, keep a chaotic situation from being even more chaotic. But I think that the key takeaway for me, Jordan, is this is deliberate. Yep. This administration is deliberately putting in place policies that allow people to enter our country. They are not being detained. They're being released. And that to me is the key question we need to get an answer to from Secretary Mayorkas next week, is why are you doing this to your fellow citizens, the people who pay your salary? Why are you doing this to our nation?
Yeah, I mean, you've been working to get this hearing for a year. In the letter you sent to Secretary Mayorkas, I'm holding my hand, you said you finally agreed to testify after you started asking in April of 2021, and now he's going to come next week, April 28th of 2022. I mean, when you're dealing with these offices, this is part of their job is to come and testify to Congress. They're supposed to do it. and to be in person more recently, obviously. Do you think, are they scared because they know that it's just that they're going to get hit over the head with these numbers, or and they don't actually want to do what you were talking about, which is tell the Americans really what their policies are?
Yeah, no, I think it's all that. And the reason we asked for him a year ago is remember what was happening a year ago. That's when President Biden said Vice President Harris was going to become the border czar. Since she's been given that title, I don't know what she has done to help the situation. Remember, a year ago, March was the highest month on record, March of 2021, for illegal immigrant encounters at our border until the month of April of 2021. And then April was the highest month until May, and then May was the highest month until June, and June was the highest month until July, when it was 213,000 illegal immigrants at our border. And then in August, it dropped all the way down to 209,000. So the reason we wanted him is that we've never seen this in the history of our country. And like I just said, this past month, we surpassed those numbers from a year ago that were record after record after record. Yep. So this is how, and the only rational conclusion any person could reach is this is deliberate. They are deliberately doing this to our country. And that's what I think we need to understand. It's not about, oh, we need more agents or we need more this. But sure, we would if we were actually enforcing and securing the border. There is no enforcement. It is they're encountered. Oh, here you go. Go into the country. Go wherever you want. Here's your cell phone. And hopefully you'll show up when we're supposed to have some kind of hearing. Well, that is not enforcement whatsoever. That's just letting people in the country. And these are the kind of questions we're going to have for the secretary. But the fundamental question I keep coming back to is, why are you doing this? Is the left-wing agenda so much more important than any type of enforcement and doing what your fellow citizens who pay your salary and the law requires you to do?
You know, and Congressman Jordan, in your letter, and I like this because you see so many times these cabinet members, they'll come before and they'll say, oh, I'll get that data. I don't have it on me right now. And your first point is we want all data related to Customs and Border Protection, not just the encounters. And those are the huge numbers we're talking about right now with Congressman Jordan, the 220,000 of last month, and which is the high, you know, the record setting under the Biden administration there. And you know, if you compare it back to the Trump years, you go back to then, I mean, you're looking at, there were 37,000 encounters. That's still a lot, but I mean, it's way different than 220,000. But you also say we want the numbers on the gotaways, at least the estimates of what they're thinking, because that's a whole different issue, Congressman Jordan, because the encounters are one thing. It's also, if you got 220,000 people being encountered, I mean, how many people are just going right through without any kind of encounter that they can maybe estimate on, but really don't ever have a contact with?
Yeah, and those two numbers move in a proportional fashion. The Border Patrol agents will tell you if you're having record number of encounters, then you're probably getting record number of people getting in the country that you don't know about. So that is only common sense again. So this is how serious the situation is. But I still think the American people, I don't know if our country fully understands that they're doing this to us. This is not a problem because of you know, policy. This is intentional. They are doing this is the result they want, which is the most troubling aspect of all this. Is they truly, the left, which now controls the Democrat Party, which runs the Biden administration, this is what they want for our country. And that's what I think we need to understand and underscore, particularly as we move into these critical midterm elections.
You know, when I look at this and I look at all this together, we know also that this is not just about protecting Americans because of illegal immigrants themselves, but also the drugs, the fentanyl. I mean, everywhere I look and everyone I talk to, and it's affecting families, rich, poor, middle class, it doesn't matter. We see it, and that doesn't matter if you're on a border state or not. It is killing Americans all over the country. And to me, Congressman Jordan, this is should be a top concern. I know it is for you when you're talking to Secretary Mayorkas, because this is not just about some let everybody in process. This is killing Americans.
Yeah, this fentanyl is as you.
Looks like we may have lost Congressman Jordan there.
I'm sorry. I think I lost you there. This fentanyl, you're right, is so bad. What it's done to families, what the impact it's had, and it's coming in, as you point out, in just record amounts from China to the cartels into our country. And when you have a border this porous, this open, no real enforcement, that is the other concern. And of course, there's the smuggling issue. There's what's happened, what's happening to children, what's happening to women. I mean, all those concerns. So just, again, underscoring how wrong these folks are and why we want to make sure we highlight this for the American people next week in this important hearing.
Yeah, my final question for you, Congressman Jordan, and I thank you for taking a stand on this, holding these administration officials to account. Not, again, keep it on. I mean, if it takes a year to get them there, getting them there. But they do seem to ignore the humanitarian issue, and they kind of paint us, the conservatives, the Republicans, as, oh, the bad folks who want to close the border, and we're the anti-human. We don't want to help these people who are in trouble economically and things like that. But in fact, they create a crisis, a humanitarian crisis at the border that affects those individuals. You talk about the sex trafficking, the human trafficking, children involved, the drug trafficking, empowering cartels, terrorist groups. They kind of ignore the humanitarian crisis that they create.
Yeah, no, they sure do. They sure do. And they want to be, oh, well, but this is causing so much harm to the people who, remember, it's the cartels who are running this. These are bad people, bad guys running this business. They're the ones who are profiting off the moving of people, the moving of drugs, and the moving of drugs does so much destruction to American families. All that needs to be dealt with if we would have real enforcement on our border. We don't now. We do not have that. And again, you talk to any of the agents down there, and they will say this is exactly the situation. And I keep returning to this. This is deliberately being done by this administration.
Congressman Jim Jordan, thank you for fighting for all of us, your constituents in Ohio, but for all of us across the country for what is right. I appreciate you joining us today on the broadcast. Folks, I encourage you to take part in the show today. You got time right now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to take your calls the next segment of the broadcast. So right away, if you want to get on the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. How concerned are you about the southern border? How concerned are you about the fact that the President of the United States talked about Title 42 when he thought he was talking about a CDC mask mandate? So when they play up that game that they're so concerned on these issues, you realize they don't even know what they're talking about. It's either, and that probably means it's just not even it's not a priority. They just don't care. So when they're off the cuff, they get Title 42 confused with a CDC mask. These are two different things. Very different things, very different cases, very different legal challenges. But then I think it goes to the Kamala Harris losing her chief of staff. And then that speech to the space, like, who is writing that for the vice president to make it sound like she's talking to a group of kindergartners, if not younger kids? Be right back on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family.
Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular, we're going to take your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. Continue to share the broadcast. We've got Secretary Pompeo joining us for the second day in a row. This time, a new piece up at aclj.org on Iran with some brand new information about whistleblowers at the State Department. So you don't want to miss that. This is, again, not information you're going to get anywhere else. And remember when it's Secretary Pompeo, Rick Grenell, and those newer advisors, they've been on our team for a while now. When they write content for the ACLJ website, that is exclusive to us. That's not appearing anywhere else. That's for ACLJ, for our supporters, for you. We sometimes get them out in the email. We get them out on social media. So share those with your friends and family because it's exclusive content, just like when they're on the broadcast with us. And if you want to be on the show, 1-800-684-3110. I want to go back to the confusion that's been caused on our southern border because of this statement yesterday from President Biden. And our producer, Will, even before we went on the air, said, you know, if you listen closely, you wonder if he's getting this confused with the mask mandate because he gets a little into the court and DOJ. But he didn't say specific to Title 42. While we've had all these Democrats start coming out and saying, maybe slow down on letting Title 42 expire until you've got a plan. Even Raphael Warnock out of Georgia, this is a super liberal U.S. senator. Saying we shouldn't do this. Now, he is up for re-election, but he's a super liberal saying it. But then we learned later that our producer, Will, was right. President Biden had confused Title 42 with the CDC mask mandate. Here's the first statement that gave people some opening that, hey, maybe this administration isn't just going to go haywire totally at the border. Take a listen.
Are you considering delaying lifting Title 42?
No, what I'm considering is continuing to hear from first of all, there's going to be an appeal by the Justice Department because as a matter of principle, we want to be able to be in a position where if in fact it is strongly concluded by the scientists that we need Title 42, that we be able to do that. But there has been no decision on extending Title 42.
Okay. Now here's the written statement from the White House following a few hours later yesterday. Quote, this is a statement from President Biden. I don't think he probably wrote this. It seems a little too eloquent for him. I want to clarify that in comments at the conclusion of my remarks this morning, I was referring to the CDC's mask mandate. That's what they were considering to hear from the scientists and to hear from other people, but an appeal from the Department of Justice. This morning, I was referring to the CDC mask mandate, and there is no Department of Justice action on Title 42. Now, there is actually a legal challenge on Title 42 from the states, so about how the federal government is trying to rewind this. But and there's also, of course, a legal action on the mask mandate and travel, because we had the district court judge say that the CDC didn't have authority there. Because it's a cleaning authority. It's not a masking authority that the CDC has. So they're going to let Title 42 expire as of right now, even though they've got Democrats lining up in the House and the Senate from across their spectrum ideologically in the Democrat Party. Yeah, you've got some of the ones who like to claim to be more moderate, the Sinemas and Mark Kellys of the world. But when you put that with a Raphael Warnock, so you're going cross-country and very different kind of Democrats. And they're all saying, if you don't have another plan, you know, we can't deal with 220,000 encounters a month. And as we talked to Congressman Jim Jordan in the previous segment, that's the people they know about. Think about all the fentanyl, drugs, human and sex trafficking. And that includes minors. Think about all of the drugs. Think about the cartels. Think about the bad actors. You know, Jen Psaki got really smart about, oh, well, we caught the 21 terrorists that we reported about in the last fiscal year at the border. Well, those are the 21 you caught. If you have 220,000 people a month coming through, there's going to be bad people utilizing that process who never got, quote, encountered by the federal government. So this is where I think it has to be very clear to everybody that we've got an administration. One, they don't ever know what they're talking about. So they let an entire day go yesterday, giving some hope that maybe they're actually being reasonable on Title 42, because they've got enough Democrats in their own party saying, be reasonable on Title 42. But they're not. And it goes back to this, too. If you're going to give a speech to the U.S. military on something as important as space, now we've seen the issue arise already with the Russians pulling out of the international space, out of that system, and you know, maybe stranding our astronauts that are at ISS. The fact that this is very serious to our national security when it comes to space. We know the Chinese, we know the Russians, we know we are all working, and in fact, space is becoming weaponized more and more. So when you give a speech to the folks leading that charge, you know, in our military, who are, you know, astrophysicists and actual rocket scientists and really smart folks, this is the best you can come up with. You've got a team of writers if you're the vice president of the United States. If you're Kamala Harris, okay, you have a team of writers to put your speech on a teleprompter. And when you're addressing our armed forces, you have this opportunity to really speak to big issues and to also get into some context, though, to get into it, not to where it sounds like you're talking literally to a group of very young children. I don't even know if a kindergartner's report on space would say more than just space is big and space is important. Take a listen again.
Space is exciting. It spurs our imaginations, and it forces us to ask big questions. Space, it affects us all, and it connects us all.
Folks, everybody sitting there knows all these things. They're signed up to be in the U.S. Space Force or the U.S. Air Force. They understand that, you know, space is a big questions. But, you know, they're past that point. They are trying to use space to secure the United States and to make sure we're leading. You know, they mocked the Space Force when President Trump created it. Now when they're speaking to the Space Force, they can't even figure out what to say. I don't know if they just don't like talking to military, or she doesn't like it, or is she not comfortable? Because really, if you were the vice president, and I'm walking off that stage after delivering that, then I'm seeing everybody playing my sound saying, you know, this is so uninspiring, so bad. I'd be firing my speechwriters. Now, her chief of staff quit. But the way these stories are coming out is that they quit, not that they're fired. If she was really mad at her staff and it was their, you know, they were putting bad content in front of her, get rid of them. You're the vice president of the United States. Get some speechwriters. Work with them. Inspire. Use these opportunities. It's just kind of sad, because even if you might politically not like Vice President Harris and disagree and want to, you know, didn't vote for, obviously, the idea is when you have that they're representing the U.S. government, you don't want them to sound like a joke. You don't want them to just become something where we're all just like scratch your head going, really, this is the best they could do? I mean, just go off. I would say just go off the cuff and it would be better. But then when President Biden answers a question, he ends up confusing masks with the border. And so you can't put any weight into what any of them say. So how are you going to negotiate with Iran? How are you going to negotiate with Russia? Or deal with the situation in Ukraine when you can't even get through a question and answer or just a basic speech with a teleprompter? 1-800-684-3110 to join us on air. Mike Pompeo is joining us in the second half hour. Support the work of the ACLJ if you can. Donate today, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Yeah. keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. Folks, we are taking your phone calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. You've got time to be on the broadcast. Secretary Pompeo is going to be joining us in the final segment of the broadcast. So I've got time to get your phone calls, whether it's on the border, Title 42, the vice president's remarks. This idea is just, they're so uninspiring, or they are misleading. So uninspiring when it comes to space. And then when you go to President Biden yesterday, misleading his own party. A lot of members of his own party who would hope that they were reconsidering Title 42 and taking people's insight. But no, he was got that confused with the mask mandate. How? It's a very specific thing, Title 42. And it's very different than the mask mandate for planes, trains, and some other travel that the federal government has oversight over. Which, by the way, they want to force you back into masks there. While at the same time rescinding Title 42, which is utilized during a pandemic, how do you make that argument in court that there's no pandemic at the border, but there is a pandemic for Americans on airplanes with the best ventilation and filtration systems that exist anywhere is when you're on the plane. But again, I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Chris is calling in from California on line one. Hey, Chris, welcome to Seculo.
Hello. What exactly is Mexico doing to hinder the illegal border crossings?
Well, here's the issue. Initially, the Biden administration came in, and this is something that Congressman Jordan is going to be asking Secretary Mayorkas next week about, is that when they came in, remember there was the Remain in Mexico policy, which is the migrant protection protocols. So we had negotiated with the government of Mexico to help us so that people weren't just flooding the border and trying to cross illegally into the United States, but that they would actually hold people back and you would wait in Mexico until you had an opportunity for a legal hearing or judicial hearing. And it was working. Listen, the number was down to 30,000 a month of encounters in March of 2020 in comparison to 220,000. But then they got rid of the policy. Okay, so they got rid of the migrant protection protocol. Then a court said, you did that wrong. You can't just end it. You've got to go through a process to remove a program like this. So until you do that, you must reinstate it. So what Congressman Jordan is going to ask next week is, has the Biden administration actually reinstated the migrant protection protocols working with Mexico? Remember President Trump was mocked about that, Chris? I mean, he was mocking him. They'll never be able to work with Mexico. Like, they'll build the wall. When in fact, what we negotiated with isn't exactly that. And they were actually helping us. A lot of illegal migrants, so the folks who are not legitimate asylum seekers at all, they're not even coming from Mexico. They're coming from Northern Triangle countries or Latin America or other places in the world. And so Mexico does have also an interest in protecting its borders and working with the United States, obviously. It's a very important trade partner with Mexico. And so instead of mocking us, they were told they got to reinstate this policy. That we'll see the answer next week of how they actually reinstated it with Mexico. Let me go to Kathy in Kentucky on line three. Hey, Kathy, let's hold on. We only got a minute left in this segment. I want to make sure you got time. So let's go back. When we come back from this break, we'll have time. If you want to talk to us in air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know, we're at the front lines of all these battles, folks. And I encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We have a matching challenge the entire month of April. That means that we've got a group of donors. They will match your donation. So if you donate $20 in this month at aclj.org, they match that $20. So that's effectively $40 for us. That's why I say it, you double the impact. We don't get into all those goofy things you'll see from some politicians, you know, 7-time match, 8-time match. Ours is very straightforward. A group of donors is going to match your donation. It's $25. That means it's like $50 to us. You are the one that triggers the match by making your donation at aclj.org, supporting our work. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we're going to take your phone calls, 201-800-684-3110. There's some new information on Iran. We're going to get into his Secretary Pompeo, but also Wes Smith. But let me start by taking your phone calls. And as I said, let me go to Kathy first out of Kentucky on line three. Hey, Kathy, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate everything that you guys are doing. I have a question. I see so many impeachable offenses from this administration, considering that they what they did to Donald Trump. I would like to know, how can we as citizens, other than donating to your organ, to the ACLJ is very important, but is there something that we the people can do, can emphasize, can say explicitly to our leaders, to our Congress people, to help this situation at the border, because it's letting in all kinds of evil, I believe.
Well, yeah, I think you've got to make sure you're electing good people. So I don't know what district, congressional district you're in, Kathy, but you want to be in touch. They've got local offices where you are in Kentucky. You're members of Congress. They've got their D.C. office. Make sure that they are doing what they can. Now, if there's someone who supports your position, again, they might be in the minority right now in the House and the Senate. That could change very soon. So I think what we're going to be launching some new initiatives next month, brand new to the ACLJ, that are going to be able to engage you at even a different level. So it, not just the legal work, not just the policy and government affairs work we've done, but next level work into the political realm. So watch out for that announcement from us at the ACLJ, because we know there's a lot of people like you, Kathy, who say, I want to do more. I want to get more engaged. I want to get more in contact. And we're going to be, again, I'm not going to get into all of it now. We're not ready to announce it yet, but I think we're going to be ready to announce it very soon. And a lot of you out there say, how can I do more? We're going to provide tools so that you can do more. So, again, it's a great way to be involved. I want to bring in Wes Smith, too. Wes, and we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, because, Wes, we are seeing a very interesting moment in the Iran negotiations. Russia being the lead go-between the U.S. and Iran, but Iran not budging on taking vengeance for the killing of Soleimani, the former head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah, even though apparently the Biden administration has secretly offered to lift some sanctions in exchange for taking that vendetta off. Whether or not that's true is hard to say, but Iran says it's true, and they are refusing to budge on taking revenge over Soleimani's death. You know, truth is stranger than fiction, Jordan, and sometimes it's more frightening. There are several facts concerning Iran that just simply cannot be denied, and the danger cannot be overstated. For example, Iran was cheating on the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, even when it was in full force. When the United States withdrew, they went Mach 3 on cheating on it. For example, they are now almost at weapons-grade enrichment of uranium. The original JCPOA, which technically they're still bound under, limited their enrichment of uranium to 3.67%. They are at 60% now. By their own declaration, 90% is weapons grade. They have ballistic missiles with which to launch weapons. They are certainly doing more research and development in that area, even though that violates United Nations restrictions. Residual nuclear material was found during the JCPOA at an undisclosed site in Iran. The Mossad, Israel's intelligence service, in 2018 discovered that Iran had a robust nuclear weapons program for years, even while they were denying that they would ever do such a thing. And under the JCPOA, which we're trying to re-enter with them, there is still a prohibition so that under it, we cannot inspect any Iranian military site. None. Can't go to a military site, which would, of course, be the probable place where they would hide their research and development. Russia, as you mentioned, is the main arbitrator, the go-between between us and Iran on this deal. The world's leading state sponsor of terror is working with a country that is inflicting terror on Ukraine and killing tens of thousands of civilians. That's who we're working with. I mean, this sounds crazy, and the reason it sounds crazy is because it is. I think what Iran is doing in Vienna, because the talks keep stalling, is that they are trying to buy time. They know that they are close to having a nuclear weapon. They believe that the Biden administration at some point is going to lift some of the sanctions, if not all of them, and they are buying time. And the threat of a nuclear-armed Iran is not something that just the United States and Israel worries about. All of our Arab Gulf allies, you know, the Arab Gulf states, those nations also worry about a nuclear-armed Iran because Iran is their declared enemy as well.
You know, I want to go back to the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Bill in Wyoming next, online four. Hey, Bill.
Good day. Thanks for taking my call. I've got two comments. Before I say anything, I just want to let you know I found some extra money that I sent to you the other day to help out with what you're doing. My first comment is the fact that more I listen to them, I tend to agree with you on what they're saying in the fact that I think, well, regardless of what they're saying in the administration, they're being deliberate. And as far as the vice president's speech, it sounds more like she was just pulled in off the street and said, hey, you got to say something to these guys to make them happy or something like that. And just a token talk. That was it.
Well, I think that it goes worse than that because you were in the military West. You were at a lot of these events with top of U.S. officials. Take out the partisan side of this politics. It's what's on the teleprompter.
Yes, yes.
The fact that that's what's on her teleprompter, if that, either her staff thinks we got to make the sentences this simple because either she's not spending time reviewing it, she's not spending time, you know, reviewing her speech, practicing the speech. So if she's going to be seeing this for like the first time, they better be simple sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is pretty, it's unusual that a year in or more than a year in now, she can't make the correction.
Yeah.
The staff keeps leaving, but they can't get the correction to get a good sentence together on the teleprompter.
Yeah, when I listened to her make this speech in real time, I noticed almost immediately there were two teleprompter screens there.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I thought she was speaking off the cuff.
Yeah.
She was actually reading a speech, and I said to a friend of mine, they need to fire the speech writer. This is horrible. But the other thing, Jordan, and you've alluded to this, those young people behind her were some of the smartest people in the United States military.
Yeah.
And her tone and her content was absolutely condescending and an insult to these men and women.
You know, breaking at the border, folks, this is just breaking from a Fox News reporter, Bill Malugan. He just said that multiple sources tell me, and this is breaking now on Fox, so it's been confirmed, tell me a Texas National Guard soldier has just drowned in the Rio Grande here in Eagle Pass while trying to save migrants in the water. Texas DPS confirms and tells me a body has been recovered. A statement is coming out from DPS in Texas soon. There it is, an example of someone who has just lost their life in service to their state, trying to help those folks who were obviously also maybe in their life in jeopardy to cross the border. And Wes, I think it puts on this, it puts it right into focus. The problem when you have no policy is not only do migrants get killed and Americans ultimately getting killed through the drugs and the criminals, but so do our law enforcement officials trying to help these folks who are crossing illegally because we're giving them incentive to do so.
Yeah, the thing that impresses me as we watch the chaos on the border is the professionalism and actually the compassion of our Border Patrol and the Texas National Guard who are down there. You know, God bless this soldier and his family. This is taking an emotional toll on the people of Texas, but especially on the people who are along the border that are trying to protect us and also help these illegal immigrants. It's a shame that it is happening this way. It should not be happening. Simple, you know, acts can go in and correct the border chaos, take some stands and reinstitute some of the former policies, and a lot of this would not be happening. It appears, as we mentioned earlier this week, and I hope that I'm wrong, but it appears like this administration simply does not care about what's going on the border.
You know, let me take one more call. Michelle out of California online, too. Member Secretary Pompeo joining us next segment of the broadcast. Hey, Michelle, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you. So my comment is that when you can see what's going on at the border now as far as, like, the drugs, the human trafficking and all of that. But this whole thing is going to affect the quality of life of every American because there's not enough jobs. There's not enough housing, the stores, parks, everything. We're not set up for this. And as far as Kamala, she's just an idiot, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't use terms like that myself. She's Vice President of the United States, and she did make it to that position. But you know what it is? The staff is not making her look good. And so it's either she's not doing the work she needs to do to prep herself because she's got to give a lot of speeches. She got to put the work in to be able to read the teleprompter clearly. And if the best they can get on the teleprompter is like what we got and why you keep having these incidents, it's probably a staff problem on top of of the elected official problem. Either because they're not putting the work in so that they can get out really good, strong sentences. I mean, the fact that we're even talking about that to a politician who made the level of Vice President of the United States is pretty absurd. We're going to join by Secretary Pompeo. We come back, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge.
For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular. It's great to be joined second day in a row by our senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He's got a brand new piece up today at aclj.org. So it's right on the homepage right now. The Biden administration's Iran negotiations imperil American security. And Secretary Pompeo, you write in your new piece that despite promises during their confirmation hearings by Secretary Janet Yellen and Anthony Blinken in their confirmations that they wouldn't remove any terror-related sanctions on Iran, that there are State Department whistleblowers say that sanctions on the Iranian central bank are first on the chopping block to get back to the JCPOA. Those sanctions, while people might say, first of all, well, are those terror-related or not? This is how they move money around. So would that alone break the promise that they made to the American people?
Jordan, it most certainly would. We all know it's just a matter of common sense that if you provide resources, think 10, think 40, think $80 billion in resources to the Ayatollah and to the IRGC, their terror operation, that they will use this money mostly for terror. Even Secretary Kerry had to admit at one point, sure, some of this money is going to go towards terror. We know that to be the case. They did, during the confirmation hearings, they were asked very clearly, tell me what you're thinking about the deal. They said, we're going to come back with a deal that is stronger and longer and better. And this deal is going to be shorter and weaker and worse. This poses so many threats to our friends and allies in Israel. It creates an enormous threat of instability in the greater Middle East as well. Think about other countries and their desire to get a nuclear weapon so that they can have one too. If the Iranians get a nuclear weapon, and it's bad for the United States of America as well. It will present risks to our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines all around the world and to American security even more broadly than that, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, we're finally starting to see, and I hope it's not just politics, Secretary Pompeo, you've been in Congress too before Secretary of State. And so, yes, we're getting close to the midterm, and those Democrats that aren't retiring are getting pretty worried. But we are starting to see more and more bipartisan condemnation of even the negotiations with Iran. So we just saw 18 Democrat members of Congress signed a letter recently. Previously, the left has been pretty much in lockstep with the Biden administration, but people are starting to peel off on a number of issues. Yes, there's politics at play, but hopefully it's also because they do care about our national security. I mean, do you think it's more, hopefully more than just politics?
For many of them, it is more than just politics. I'll give them credit for that. Senators Menendez and Cardin have all been pretty clear, even back in the day in 2015 and 2016 around the JCPOA, they knew and said they didn't think it was a good idea. They weren't willing to break. They weren't willing to vote against then President Obama or even today against President Biden on sanctions and sanctions related issues. But they were very clear. These are pro-Israel patriots when it comes to American security issues in the Middle East. And they could see that this is a bad deal. It is crazy to think you're going to give the Iranians money at the very same moment that the Iranians and the Russians are cozying up to each other in Ukraine. This money will flow, Jordan. It'll go from the Iranians to weapon systems in Russia that'll kill Ukrainians.
Yeah.
It's just a bad idea on so many fronts. It is incomprehensible to me to think this administration is going to rejoin it. And I pray that they will return to what we know will deter Iran. That is a strong pro-sanctions, hardline effort to prevent Iran from getting the money it needs to inflict terror around the world.
I think I was putting it that way too, Secretary Pompeo, you know, explaining that by opening this up for Iran and flowing into Russia, then that, again, to kill you innocent Ukrainians. And the idea that the American people have been so outraged by this, they want to support Ukraine however they can, and yet the administration doing other backdoor moves, if they could, they would, that would, again, continue to encourage these countries. Well, it continues to fund their war machine And that is, again, I think that why people have got to think about it three-dimensionally and not just Iran, U.S., not just Russia, U.S., not just China, U.S., but how all of it works together. And you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I want to get into a little bit more because you talk about it too in your piece that's up at ACLJ.org, the proxies of Iran stepping up and starting to really cause more issues for our friends in the Gulf states who have moved forward with those Abraham Accords, even without the Biden administration's full-on support, and are trying to still implement those, work with Israel on implementing those. But you mentioned, too, that like if Iran gets that weapon, a lot of those friends are going to say, hey, we need one, too, to protect ourselves.
Jordan, the Iranians have used these proxy forces to threaten so many countries in the region. Think about Hamas threatening Israel from the Gaza Strip. Think about Hezbollah dominating Lebanon. Think about the Houthis in Yemen firing missiles, Iranian missiles, into Saudi Arabia, now into the United Arab Emirates. These are nations that have all been working towards building out a more stable, prosperous Middle East. Some of them signed the Abraham Accords to commit to that. And when they see America cozying up to the Iranians, cozying up to the Ayatollah, permitting the Iranians to have a clear pathway to a nuclear weapon, they're going to have less confidence in American leadership and our willingness to help them defend themselves. And they're going to feel like they need to go arm themselves in a way that can actually push back against a nuclear-powered or a nuclear-capable Iran. It is really escalatory. It is really dangerous, and it risks unwinding the central understandings that we were successful putting in place over our 4 years, which made the region more stable. And, Jordan, you know the most important thing about that is it makes the economy more stable here at home, but most importantly, it keeps our kids, our military, our young kids from having to be potentially put in really, really dangerous places to go fight wars there. We want to get out of that. We desperately wanted to stop the wars that we were already in. And we made real progress on each front. This will set us back.
Yeah, I mean, Reuters has got a report out, Secretary Payne, I know this is very personal for you, that Iran has continued to reject multiple offers from the United States of why they've had the trouble getting back into the JCPOA, of sanctions relief, because they've got to, the United States wants them to abandon their revenge talk on the U.S. for taking out Soleimani. And you've got Iranian military officials quoted saying they're never going to say yes to that. It doesn't matter what the sanctions relief. I mean, with just that kind of information coming out of Iran, shouldn't it be just clear enough to our U.S. officials now that we don't want these folks dealing with nuclear weapons, that they won't even have a conversation about revenge killings and sanctions relief, but yet they still want the world to fold to their every whim and desire?
Well, Jordan, I do have a particular personal dog in that fight, but more broadly, it is absolutely the case that the Iranians have for a long time tried to conduct terror campaigns all around the world, including tried to blow up a restaurant right in Washington, D.C. We can't trust them. They shouldn't have resources and money.
Secretary Pompeo, let me thank you for joining us today, and let me encourage folks to check out your piece up at ACLJ.org. It's brand new. It says, Pompeo, the Biden administration's Iran negotiations imperil American security. It's great to have you both yesterday and today on the broadcast, Secretary Pompeo. Let me encourage you folks, this final minute of the broadcast today, we are able to bring this team together for you at the ACLJ. All the work that we do, the cases that we do that we talk about on here, some of the cases that we do that we don't even have time to get to on the broadcast because of the news we want to cover and information we want to get to you with the expert team that we've got to analyze it. Again, it's because of your support for the ACLJ. It's why we have Secretary Pompeo on our team. It's why we have Rick Grinnell on our team. It's why we have this broadcast. It's why we have the team behind the broadcast. It's why we have the attorneys that we do, the government affairs team. Talked about some new initiatives we're about to launch next month to get you even more engaged in processes. You all ask, how can I do more? We're going to give you a way to do more. And we are able to do that because your financial support of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge. Donate today at ACLJ.org if you're able to. That's ACLJ.org. Donate today. We would really appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.